This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا 6 5 4 3
2 السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. It's a pleasure and an honor once again to join with you, your brother Yahya Ibrahim, coming to you live from my home here in Perth, Western Australia, to wherever you are in the world through the wonderful vehicle of IslamChannel.tv. Alhamdulillah, this is a wonderful opportunity for us to gather together, seeking the pleasure of Allah, coming acquainted with the matters of our faith, where we seek a little bit of clarity. Islamic Q&A is an important program, and I know, alhamdulillah, there are wonderful scholars who throughout the week are there, ready and able to answer your questions. Each and every Wednesday, 12 noon London time, I'm honored, alhamdulillah, to take this position to be able to assist you with some of your queries, inshallah. So please do log on, do get online, so that we can receive your phone calls live on air, bi-ibnillahi ta'ala. We're going to be, inshallah, continuing with the theme that we began last week. This is a really important time in our human history, where there is an incredible focus on what is meant to be climatic changes and discussed by scientists and people of speciality in the field. And of course, the political area and the socioeconomic platforms are all abuzz with discussions about which way the world should turn in its, relationship with the natural world that surrounds us. And we wanted, inshallah, over the next couple of weeks as well, to talk a little bit while we are interrupted by your wonderful calls and contributions, to speak about the Islamic philosophical perspectives of the environment as it relates to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and intended for us balance and harmony. He made us as the ummah that is al-ummah al-wasat, the ummah of the middle course. We are those who are not negligent, and we are those who seek not to be extreme. And in any one of those two, there is a deficiency that leads off the straight middle road, middle path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ridwan, His pleasure and His mercy upon us. The path of a sirat al-mustaqim is the path that has been tread upon by the generations of those who have passed in righteous conduct in their understanding of what it is of the aim of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Come to a surety of knowledge that none is worthy of worship but God. Let that surety of knowledge be from everything that you interact with. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the alterations of the night and the day and of the alterations of the heavens and the earth, you will see that there are signs that are for those whose hearts are alive and are able to comprehend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that everything in the world is bowed down. Everything in His creation, in this dominion and firmament, is bowed down to His authority. And لا يعزب عنه مثقال ذرة. There is nothing that is beyond that which He has gathered in His knowledge, has written for it a destiny, and is well and truly assured of each and every phase. Allah tells us, in fact, to look to the trees and to the descent of a leaf off a limb. وَمَا مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. There isn't a leaf that descends off a tree except it's in the knowledge of Allah. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ. Not even a mustard seed or a little seed that is planted in the depth and the darkness of the earth, except that Allah knows its place. Allah drives to it the raindrops that are its rizq and are its sustenance. And I want you to consider what it is that you and I have been given as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. I have ennobled and honored the children of Adam. وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. and I have been the one who has given them the ability to be carried in the land and on the seas in all of that I've created. Allah tells us in Surah Ibrahim, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ دَائِبَيْنِ. He is the one who has subjugated the stars, the sun, and the moon for you. He is the one, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الْأَنْهَارِ. He's the one who has made in service to you the fresh water that flows to you, beneath you, and around you. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ and Allah has made اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ, that the alterations of the night and the day in the perfect balance of our 24-hour calendar of the day, it is perfectly met for the physiological, anatomical needs that you and I as human beings have. In fact, some of the very simple subtleties of, for example, what level of radiation that our eyes can tolerate from the reflected and refracted light that enters into it that we're able to sense. We can't see with infrared, but we see a particular spectrum and a particular amount of that light that is conducive for our needs as human beings as we live, tread upon, and walk upon this blessed earth that has been muhayya lana, has been made perfect for us, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Surah Ar-Rahman, that Allah, He says that He made this earth for us bil mizan, and it is in a justly balanced, upright manner for you and I. Allah tatghaw fil mizan. So do not transgress the weighings and the balance that has been set. Allah warns us in the very earliest of sections of the Quran, in the very early page of Surah Al-Baqarah, the very early chapter of the Quran where Allah acquaints us with what it is that are His obligations upon us. He says, لا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها. Do not cause corruption, vile corruption in the earth after I have rectified it and made it rightly fit for you. There were moments in the earth's history where nothing could live, no humanity could live upon it, but it became, in the command of Allah, a place that is habitable for you and I as human beings. And therefore, any time we transgress those bounds, any time we break away those limitations and change what was meant to be the godly order that was set for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Yasin, وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا, that the sun and its circuits, and our solar system is in movement, is in flux, in the way that our sun is stable in our circumference around it, and our solar rotations around it, the sun is also in movement around other celestial objects. And Allah wants us to know this very early on, that there is much more greater than what the eye beholds, what is sensory, and what is within our ability to see, or touch, or taste, or hear, or feel. Allah wants us to know that is there is so much for us to experience. We have our first caller on the line, and it's good to be interrupted by these calls, inshallah, to answer your questions. I look forward to hearing more from you, inshallah. Our first caller, assalamu alaikum caller, how can I help?
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, sister.
I have a question. I was fasting the other day, Tafi, and I went to sleep, and I got up very late, and the timing was over at least 45-50 minutes. So could you tell me whether, it is acceptable to Allah Pak or it's not? Please, and also,
yes, sister.
My second question. Can we give zakat to the hospital? They're making a hospital abroad, and they're asking for charity to build up a good cancer hospital. Can we do that, please?
Jazakallah khair for your question, sister. With regards to your first question, if I understood you correct, you've been fasting, alhamdulillah, may Allah accept your fast and make it a reason for your success in this dunya and akhirah, and a prevention for harm and illness, Allahumma ameen. I understand that you were fasting and that you, as you were ending the day, you had fallen asleep for a nap and you didn't wake up straight away so that you can enjoy your iftar at the normal hour just when Maghrib enters. So it may have been 45 minutes or an hour later. This should not harm your fasting whatsoever. It is, of course, the great sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to be quick in breaking our fast. And one of the signs of uprightness of a believer is that we are not obsessive about delaying the fast, thinking that Allah is judging us by minutes. Rather, Allah is judging our intention and our collective spirit. So from the sunnah, as you are rightly alluding, you should break your fast as soon as Maghrib ends. But if there's a reason that prevented you, whether it's sleep or you were, consumed with something that distracted you from it, then this does not limit the reward and your fast is accepted. With regards to your second question, I'm reluctant to comment on something as important as zakah over the phone without the details that are necessary. Zakah is something that is very particular. It's not just given to just generalized kind of things. Zakah should be something really that's given to the one who it is permissible for them to receive it. So as much as it is for us to investigate who I'm giving zakah to, the person receiving zakah should know whether they are eligible to receive it or not. So the first thing that I would say that could kind of quell your worry about this question is if this is a place where they are saying that this hospital is zakah eligible, then trust that fact and provide your zakah. But if there's no information provided and you're not sure about the eligibility of it, please do ask a local scholar who you can spend a little bit of time with and get further clarity by you providing more detail, inshallah. It is an important act of ibadah. Zakah, it's not just a voluntary thing. So we have to be extra strict to make sure that we are giving it to those who deserve it in the right amount, in the right time, for the right reason, knowing that Allah is judging not just our heart's intent, but also our amal in fulfilling the sunnah and tradition of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We were speaking about the importance of our connection to the environment and our connection to that which surrounds us. And Allah asks us regularly, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُوا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. Don't they look into the heavens to understand how it was separated and elevated above them? Subhanallah, there's so many wondrous discoveries that science begins to unravel and is still unraveling and is still very much ignorant about, with the mystery of what holds the gases in the atmosphere. And one of the most important, I guess, factors that is affecting all of humanity today is the ozone layer. Living in Australia in particular, it is a very grim statistic that one out of every three Australians will develop over the course of their life a skin cancer. And that's something that's a really notable fact. It's something where you see that there are great policies put in place in schools for children to wear hats and wear sunscreen and not be out in the sun when it's summertime, to be really extra careful with how they take care of their skin. And the result of that and the reason for that is because in this area, there is a pocket where the ozone layer has thinned. And it's a place where the UVB rays and UVA rays are not reflected back or refracted out back into space, which has a great effect upon the human population, the animal population of Australia. So when Allah tells us to look into the heavens, it's not just to look and say, wow, look how beautiful the clouds are, which they are, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd, but it's also to consider, what is the effect of my life? What is the effect of my impact and footprint upon the earth, upon the policies that are enacted that I can vote for or against, that influence the things that are around us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that how we live our life in terms of our conduct as human beings affects the natural environment around us. And I'll just give you two verses from the Quran that kind of speak about this. In one surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he tells us that Nuh alayhi salam said to his people, وَقَالَ نُوحٌ Nuh says to his people, إِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Be regular in repenting to your Lord, asking for forgiveness for the mistakes that you have made and make between each other and towards other people and in your relationship with the Lord Almighty. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. You will find that your Lord Allah Almighty is the one who is willing to forgive all sins. It doesn't matter how big they are or how often you commit them, they will be forgiven by Allah. We'll continue with this ayah and its discussion after we take this call. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help? Yes, sister.
I have a question. I saw in my dream Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala name very clearly. The name was going round and round, you know, like a beast. And the name dropped, but I saw very, very clearly Allah name. Could you tell me what does it indicate, please? Thank you so much.
Jazakallah khair, sister. If I can refer you to a piece I wrote, it's called The Art of Islamic Dream Interpretation. I don't want to comment on just a small section of a dream. But for us as Muslims, there is a methodology in how we discuss dreams and in the relationships that are provided through them. Dreams are of three types, the Prophet ﷺ said. One type of dream is hadithun nafs, is where your soul expresses whether it's fear or it's hope or it's sadness or it's love. And subhanAllah, you might see very wondrous things. So just say you're a student and you have exams coming up, and all of a sudden you see in your dream that you're on a boat and you don't have a motor and you don't have the oars that can get you to the other side of the shore, and your boat is floating aimlessly. Well, that's, you know, your soul kind of feeling, I don't know what I'm going to do with this test. I don't know if I'm going to be successful. I feel overwhelmed, and so on. The second type of dream, may Allah protect us, is the dream of the shaitan. And this is where the shaitan seeks to influence our inner dialogue by interjecting, as Allah tells us in the Quran, لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, to bring depression, sadness, angst, fear, terror into the hearts of mankind, and especially those who believe. So a person may wake up perturbed and upset from something they saw, and confused and angry and so on. And it can seem like a very real dream. And that's something that the Prophet asks us to nasta'id billah, to say, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, not to share it with others, and to make a fresh wudu, make a fresh laying down in bed if it's the middle of the night, to turn from one side to the next. So if you were sleeping on the right, sleep on the left. Although it's not the sunnah, this is the sunnah, to change that condition and have a better sleep, inshallah. The third type of dream is where we see a vision, and it's not a dream where it's an imagined, but it is a vision where Allah blesses both Muslim and non-Muslim with a moment of clarity about something that they are aware of or something they're not aware of. And it's usually in terms of symbols, and the words that are written in it are important, the concepts that are written important, the individuals you meet in it, the clothing they wear, whether you were in the shade or the sun in your own home or others, all of it has a context, and it can provide a greater level of certainty and can put reassurance in the heart. Dreams are not usually interpreted and occur in the very moments that you've seen them. In fact, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, he reminds his father, هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Oh my father, this is the meaning of the dream I saw as a young child. Now, decades later, قَدْ جَعْلَهُ رَبِّي حَقًّا. My Lord has made it truthful for me that I've been able to see the outcome of that dream. And therefore, the dream is, its interpretation is best done with somebody who has good intentions in their heart towards you, somebody who is knowledgeable of the Quran and the Sunnah, and who can interpret it in the way and the methodology of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But through this medium, it is not something that I'm able to help with. May Allah give you assistance and have somebody to assist you in good regard, inshallah. What I will say to you is that seeing anything that resembles faithfulness and a commitment to Allah that gives you a good feeling and a sense of security when you wake up is a blessed sign and a visitation of the angels. May Allah accept it from you. Allahumma ameen. We're speaking, alhamdulillah, about the environment. And we have mentioned this ayah in Surah Nuh, in the chapter Noah, where Allah says, that Noah said to his people, make dua to Allah to forgive you. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. They were in a drought, and Noah said, if you ask for forgiveness, the heavens will rain down upon you. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And your Lord will strengthen you with wealth and vigor and children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. In fact, this barren land will turn into gardens of delight, and you will be blessed with rivers of blessing that will flow towards you. And therefore, we're able to impact the environment with our spiritual connection to Allah, not just our physical connection. We'll talk more about that when we return from a short break, inshallah. But I want you to get that as a very important Islamic concept, that we believe in a metaphysical impact upon the earth, that if I live in balance with the earth, if I live in balance with my family, if I live in balance with my relationship with Allah, it then influences the things that surround me and that are around me in a way that is positive, blessed, and aiding to myself and others. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you and I success, makes us from those who are khulafa fil ard, protectors of the earth for the future generations. Wa salli Allahumma ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Join me after our 5-minute break, inshallah, for the second part. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم.